With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to the EvoStick NPL show for the month of December 2018.
Hang on, Ben.
Pre-recorded, let me finish and explain this. Pre-recorded on Wednesday, the 9th of January, 2019.
Yeah.
Complicated.
Why don't you just rename it?
Because then we'd miss a month.
No, you wouldn't, because no one would notice.
They would notice.
They will now.
Is this like the pre-Brexit show?
No, we're not quite there yet. There's still time and stuff. Anyway, around the table, we've got the great and good of non-league football. Andrew Simpson is here from the Manchester Guardian.
Good evening.
Berkey's here from 26-0.
Hi, Ben.
Swampy's here, everyone, from the non-league football show, the national non-league football show. International, it's on the internet.
It is indeed, Ben. Yeah. And indeed, I've actually poo-pooed that show this evening for this show.
What?
Yeah. That is the truth.
And social media man from the league, James Hayes, is also with us. Hello, James.
I don't feel like I got the recognition it maybe deserved.
Nice one.
It's a good show, but this show is...
Your agent knows what he's doing.
My agent, yeah.
Anyway, shortly we're going to be hearing from Bolton FM's Chris Hyder to talk about Rammy's FA Trophy exploits this weekend as they'll be hosting Weymouth. But before that, we are going to be talking about the top end of the NPL and the Premier Division, and to be fair, we should really start with last weekend more generally, because I think I said to you all off air, if Jim White was covering the Northern Premier League, he would have had a fit last Saturday covering all that.
He would have burnt his yellow tie.
He doesn't get any better.
I mean, where do you start? A 3-0 draw between Farnsley and Warrington, Hyde beating Basford 8-3, then the chairman coming out of Basford apologising for it all, and then you've got what's gone on at Workington, at Stafford. It's all been happening. I mean, where'd you start?
Well, let's start at the top, and with second from top and third from top.
Okay,
if
we start at the top,
it's a nil-nil as well. Yeah, I know. Never mind the top. Farsley and Warrington, game of the day. It can go two ways, can't it, when you get two teams who are fighting for, jostling for position right up at the top. And it went the way you want it to go. We didn't get any drab nil-nils like we got last season between Altrincham and Warrington. We got a proper humdinger, three each. And it's just a perfect game. All right, maybe 4-4 would have been a little bit better. But that maybe sounds stupid. But 3-3, that's my favourite scoreline in football.
But is it a game where perhaps Farnsley are thinking, you know, we're into the 86th and 87th minute and they concede, then they're thinking, we've got this. They've come back from 1-0 to make it 1-1, then 2-1 up, and then 3-1 up with an own goal, obviously from Mark Roberts. But then, you know, Josh Amos comes in, scores on the 72nd minute, and then again in the 87th minute. And you're thinking, Warrington have to be, because basically, you know, from 3-1 down to getting back to 3-3. And such a late goal as well.
And against the team who'd won some like 8 or 9 league games on the spinning Farsley. It was an absolutely brilliant result. Yeah. One thing I would say about Warrington, though, is that we know they've got this exemplary defensive record, but they've conceded near enough half of the goals this season in the last 5 games. So were the little creaks showing there that they're just, you know, second half the ball a little bit, I'm not sure. But one thing I'm also very, very pleased about is that Conor McCarthy's banging him in again.
Yeah, he is.
Good signing.
Great signing.
Straight away, happiest team of the weekend, isn't any? Who's the happiest out of them two? It's neither, it's Nantwich. They got away with got a get out clause, I reckon, this weekend.
You are going to get teams perhaps conceding more, scoring more than ordinary, because the games come so thick and fast. So the games are so unpredictable. I know it's tradition, and I know it's a great thing for supporters to a degree, but equally
there's far too many games.
There really, really is. You could basically, over this period, and certainly in the period of winter where you've got people with illnesses and so on and so forth, you could lose half a team in a game because of illness, let's say, and have to play 4 or 5 games with half a team and your season's over with.
Well, basically
I would like to see, personally, it's only a personal opinion, there should be a break. These are semi-professional footballers. I'd like them to spend some time with their families.
I think you'll find out of the three feeder leagues, ours actually had a break. The others didn't. The others played on the 29th. The only teams that played in our league on the 29th were those who were in the FA Trophy because it was a free weekend for him. So, yeah, actually, I've had that break once.
I think that's true. I mean, I covered four games in 10 days. And
you did a good job.
Thank you very much. And you know, we've mentioned that actually the fixtures unfolded pretty well this season.
Well done to Scrounds, pretty
good. Well done to Scrounds, the weather's helped. But you're looking. I was looking at Witten's fixtures. Witten were, I think they still are the team that's played the least number of games. This has got loads of midweeks free in the rest of the season. Why did they need to play on the 29th? And they got beat, by the way.
It quite literally is, at the moment, to keep the home and away combination. Yeah. If we move any more fixtures out of rotation, unless we have, say, another incident like last year with the snow,
we will.
It's going to be affected massively. So that's the only reason we had them games there. But again, it's better than having them, say.
And aside from that, though, Nantwich Town, though, stay top heading into this weekend's matches.
Never snows, rains. Always happy and sunny.
Never snows or rains upon the Cheshire Plains.
Exactly.
Speaking of plains, they went to Gainsborough. Very flat. Gainsborough a nil. Nantwich Town nil.
Well, I think that's actually a very good result, that, for Nantwich.
And for Gainsborough?
I think they'll be reasonably happy with it.
Yeah, I think he's right. Nantwich haven't scored now in two games, though, because that came off the back of losing on New Year's Day. I agree with Birky, though. I think that is a good result away to Gainsborough. But I did expect them not to be top of the league going into next weekend's fixtures. So I think T got spot on. I think they were the happiest last week.
They've
weekend.
Been reeled in, though. I mean, really? No doubt about it. They're 1 point ahead of the pack now, aren't they? They've got three or four games in hand there, Warrington, Farsley, and not too far behind either, South Shields.
South Shields, I was going to say.
Nantwich is a football club. They've sent out this season. The manager will have an idea where it wants to be top. Where
do you think Nantwich can finish now?
I fully expect Nantwich to finish in the top five. Of course, they've got the quality there. They've got Casper Hughes running the show in the middle of the park. They've got Sean Cook there, who is probably the best number 10 in the division. But they've got a really tough month coming up. That's the problem. In February, it's key month. From they've got to play Farsley, they've got to play Warrington, they've got to play Scarborough, who will be resurgent by then. So, I don't know, it's going to be tough, but I do think they'll finish top five just about.
No game from this weekend, though.
Yeah, so. Because
they're
well ahead of the fixtures. So.
There we go. We mentioned South Shields as well. South Shields, you saw them in the flesh at Winsham Park
Saturday. I did.
Only 1-0, though.
It was only 1-0, and if you'd offered 1-0 at half-time, I think everyone in the ground would have gone, yes, thank you very much, let's get out of here, because it was a Rolls-Royce performance from South Shields in the first half. The best team I've seen play against Witten this season, by some distance as well. In the first half, they completely bossed it, totally controlled it, should have been out of sight. The one kind of caveat to that, I suppose, is the second half performance was completely different. Whether they thought, you know, we're so much better than you that we'll just score when we feel like it, that is to massively underestimate Witten, of course, who are notoriously a very difficult team to beat, even though they don't score many goals. And in the end, they had a couple of chances, and South Shields could have gone away from there on a 1-1 draw, which would have been a travesty in many ways for how they played in the first half. I think what's kind of ominous for everybody is they're 11 games unbeaten now, still perfect at Mariners Park, but the key is they're now five unbeaten away from home. Three of those have been wins. That's what we've kind of been saying is stopping them from challenging for the title. The sensation, if they're going away and playing like that, they are the real deal, and I think they are.
Speaking of the North East, kind of, Scarborough.
Why are you looking at me, Ben?
Is it? Well, you're a hero at Scarborough, I believe. Whenever you go to the Flamingoland Stadium.
You did make that claim.
You did.
Do you want me to put my Scarborough hat on for this or something?
Well, no. I'm just
going as well now.
My question.
you've actually wearing the Scarborough athletic hat.
Okay.
Well, that's brilliant. That is brilliant.
The thing is, what happened is, after saying on last month's show that I was, of course, going up to Scarborough,
you didn't.
Because they got the red carpet out for me and everything, well, I didn't go in the end, I couldn't be bothered. So, well, this is why Scarborough have gone on this little topsy-turvy run of theirs.
It's not topsy-turvy, though, is it?
It's all right, it's really, turvy.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Turvey, you're always my dad, Kevin Turvey, you're always...
Right? Because Right, people were going on, oh, they've lost six games out of eight.
That was you.
That was you.
Yeah, it was me.
There's some good stuff on that, Pat. Thank you. Read it out.
I'll need Paul Saint-Deur. Chris Balder, V good addition. Too much tinkering. Nathan Valentine and James Cadman benched. Horrible month. Warrington, they're at Matlock. Then they've got Farsley. Win those, not just right back in, but he'll revive entire season.
So I told you some good stuff on there.
I read that quite well, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
However,
yeah.
Lose, and what happens?
Oh, yeah, they're stuffed.
Well, I think, do you think it beating Hensford at home rights all the wrongs?
No.
It doesn't, does it?
No, because Hensford are on a terrible spot.
But it puts the show back on the road, doesn't it?
They're up.
This
there.
One? Look.
No, the five. Oh,
it stops the rot, but they've got Warrington at home on Saturday.
They put themselves in a position where, A, they want to win the division. They've got a big fan base, it supports their own, they've gone through the mill. They've got a manager who's very, very confident. They've had a period of time where things haven't been going right for them to a certain degree. Yes, they've beaten with a crowd of just shy of 1,000 against Hensford. But they should be beating Hensford, in fairness. They've been with a manager, without a manager. They've been in flux completely. They've even got an FC United ex-player. Well, actually, on loan there.
Even?
That's how bad they are.
I know.
But they're, look, they're Scarborough will be there or thereabouts, and I know there's a huge expectation.
Is it a kind of blessing that they've had that wobble in December rather than in March?
There's never a good time to have a wobble at all. And it's weren't a wobble, this was like a full-on shake.
Speaking of Scarborough, we should welcome back Chris Balder, formerly of North Ferby, now assistant manager at Scarborough.
Hi, Chris. So,
more on Scarborough later when we do the fixture preview. Gainsborough just outside the playoffs, 4 points behind Scarborough with a game in hand. But that is a sizeable gap now. 2 wins to get it back into the playoffs for teams outside the playoffs.
They've got less margin. They've lost 7 games now at Gainsborough. They had I think I said this on Friday on the record, that they had a terrible December. Great win at Matlock on New Year's Day, which they followed up with a draw against Nantwich. So, you know, the next couple of weeks are important for them. They need to kind of get back on a roll again, because not finishing in the top five for Gainsborough is a failure.
Buxton got a good win against Whitby. They've put themselves back in the playoffs.
They're a good team, Ben. They are a good team. They had that terrible run sort of around October time-ish. They didn't win in 7 games. We thought they were better than that, and it's proven to be the case. They've lost 1 in 7 since then. Very adept unit. I know generally when we mention Buxton, we mention Liam Hardy, but the thing is, he's not been firing recently, and he's found himself dropped to the bench. James Dean's come in. They've signed him from Padiham, believe it or not. He's playing down in the Counties League again. And you look at James Dean and go, oh, he's 6'3", 6'4", built like a tree. He's just going to be there as the target man. And to be fair, Buxton do use him a little bit as that, because that's the style of play they tend to use anyhow. But he's much better than that. He's a really good footballer. He's a very underrated footballer, I think. He's got a really good first touch. He can finish. And the thing is, he's always stronger than anyone else. So the physical side of the game comes really easy to him. He's an absolute unit. And I think he'd be an absolute bonus for any team in this division.
We saw him at Ashton, didn't we, Ben? You and me saw him at Ashton in a playoff game, and he was non-existent.
Yeah.
And it's a question he seems to have. He has a love of the game again, and he wants to get back into as high as he can at this moment in time. And I agree with you. On his day, he's top draw. He's a strong, competitive, good quality player, and you wouldn't want to be a centre-half up against him, because he's got that strength, that tenacity, elbows and upper body strength, and he scores goals. And he will be, and he is a good addition. Keep him fit, keep him happy. Addition, don't. Yeah, it's a struggle.
Just looking at the fixtures as well, they're only had the integral, because they're still in that at this moment in time, and they've got a tough ask at the end of the month against hosting Mask in the competition as well.
Well, they had a little wobble as well, didn't they?
They had a little bit of a wobble, but it's starting to get to that point now, and I think that's benefited them quite a lot.
Well, again, also, we were talking about earlier on, weren't we, about the winter and the snow and so on and so forth.
I'll have to put that stuff in.
And we certainly do know, and we certainly do know, obviously, Bucks has its fair share of that. Bucks have been susceptible to that in the past.
Not anymore.
But that's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
Actually, you're wrong.
Hold on.
No, really, you are wrong. Those pitches don't take too kindly having snow scrapes off them. So snow can still suspend play, as it were.
Snow can suspend play. However, if you've got covers, which they have as well, then the likelihood is that there's more games going to be on during the winter months.
That's
where, and what you, we may well find is Buxton playing games where those around them aren't playing. They've only played 25 as well. They could end up find themselves being in second or third spot because of games being cancelled, and get into that position where psychologically they're going, well, we're playing, we're winning games, we're doing well, and we're now at a point where we don't want to, you know, finish.
And I think
other than that, so that they've got that opportunity.
I think a part of that as well, Swampy, is that teams they'll see it's, you know, the weather forecast, oh, it's going to be snowing in Buxton, rah-de-da-da, and the players won't prepare for it. They'll think, oh, the game's not going to be on. A few of them will forget that there's an artificial surface there.
Yes.
Not expecting the game to be on. They'll get a call on Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, where are you? What game's off in it? It's in Buxton. No, it's on. They've got a pretend pitch. Come on, let's get cracking.
Not pretend. It's
the same pitch as yours.
It's
exactly the same.
Yeah.
Just before we end part one, just to mention for Basford United, because were you there?
We can pretend that.
Yeah, we should start inviting Luke along, really, to these.
Who actually goes to the games.
Oh, that reminds me. I got a text off Luke before.
Yeah.
Can I take over Swampy's job?
Hasn't he got his own gig with the National League podcast? Basford United,
don't
though,
shoot the messenger.
Going down by 3-8 at home. Does that make sense?
8-3, I'd say.
Yeah, okay. 8-3 at home against Hyde United.
Yeah.
Chris Munro then comes out, apologises, and offers everyone a refund, pretty much. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's just...
What do you mean, as a Hyde fan, not as a pundit? That's pretty offensive, that, isn't it?
Well, there are a few Hyde fans, actually, who have taken it, I think, the wrong way.
Okay.
Because what can you do? You know, your team gets absolutely thrashed, which they were completely thrashed. The three goals were because I just went, well, this is too easy, frankly. And they were just having a bit of a kickabout in the second half. But they were missing, through injury, it was 4 or 5 first-teamers. And, yeah, there was a flu bug going about. I don't know, making the players play when they're ill... That's silly, I think.
They
should have got the youth team as in our reserves or whatever. They should have got other players to play.
Or in fairness, should a... And again, this should be devil's advocate here. Should a doctor have been allowed to come and examine those players from an FA perspective and said, this club have a major epidemic and therefore it is not right for them to play, that have to play against, let's say, a quality Hyde, as you are, and get battered... 15-0.
Well, I'd say what
was that to them young kids?
Let's
there
turn
has
that
to be
Swampy.
A modicum of.
Can we turn
that?
What was said in the state in his statement was, in hindsight, the club should have requested a late fixture cancellation due to the unprecedented circumstances, and failing that request, put a request out for academy players to fill the absence.
I would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
No problem at all. But to turn your argument on its head, Swampy, cast your mind back about 10 years to Durham City. Who came up against...
Oh, why you bring that up?
Who came up against... It was Durham City's youth team, 17, 18-year-old lads.
They beat FC United.
FC United.
Go away, Burke. Right, anyway.
They were not 3 points.
No, but
at least our club hasn't been beaten 26-0.
No.
Once. Anyway.
But that's an aside.
I think you made a good point. To be fair to Basford, their home record, their form this season at home suggests that it is a completely freak result.
Yeah, of course it is.
And I was being a little bit facetious when saying it was a chairman's statement, offensive. Fair play to him for coming out. They've offered refunds to the fans. I think he's handled it pretty well.
But Hyde are now in 10th. And
they've done, Basically have done to be where they are. From
absolutely.
We know how good they were last season. The jump is huge.
Yeah.
To be where they are. But I tell you what, I'm going to say, I think that game, you're talking about, they've had that 7 out of 8, not done well, got absolutely battered against Hyde. I've got a sneaky feeling that is a galvanising kind of game.
This
I think you're going to see a second sting
this
from them,
weekend.
Next game,
South Shields at home this weekend.
Maybe next week. But then they've got Hemsford and then they've got North Ferriby, and you'd expect them
to win. What a great game to try and bounce back and prove everybody wrong.
More on that in a second in part three when we do the fixture preview. Speaking of previewing fixtures, we're now going to leave the Premier Division to one side for a second or two and talk about the FA Trophy. Ramsbottom United of Division West have got a very big game this weekend as they're taking on Weymouth.
Come on, Rammy!
In the second round of the FA Trophy. And on Thursday, which is in the future as we record this, I caught up with Bolton FM's Chris Hyder. So, Chris, a big thank you for joining us. I think I'm safe in saying this. I know there's been a couple of promotion games in Rammy's history, but I think this is Ramsbottom's biggest game in their history. I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, I think they're even bigging it that way. They're kind of thinking to themselves, all right, we've had promotion campaigns in the North West Counties League and when we had that divisional playoff back in 2014, but, well, I suppose because it's the FA Trophy and there's a bit more grandstanding about it in non-league circles, yeah, I suppose this could feasibly be seen as their true biggest game in the history.
I mean, they've never been to the second round before. That's the first thing to say. And I don't want to say the favourites, but, you know, we've seen Step 3 sides come a cropper against Step 4 sides, not just in the FA Trophy, but in the FA Cup this season as well, in the various qualification rounds. This is going to be a very big occasion. I mean, you spoke to Chris over the festive period. What's his take on it all?
I think, well, I did speak with him after the defeat to Atherton Colliery's, and I think it was just one of those days at the office where everything went wrong for them, and all it would be down to now was get it right for the town game and then turn all attention to this Saturday against Weymouth.
I mean, they did bounce back with a great 1-1 draw with Leake. And at the, you know, you could be forgiven if you're Ramsbottom United. I mean, we've seen various cup runs in the past where the team it doesn't replicate itself with the league form. But apart from the Atherton Colliery's result, you know, the great win against Radcliffe on Boxing Day, they've put themselves back in the playoff hunt as well. So it's a lot of juggling going on.
Yeah, indeed it is. Mind you, I think there's a lot more positivity about the place. I think the players are getting the feel for that, and that's why they've actually been doing better in the league this time round. Because, again, going back to the point that was made, I think it was James that said that Rammy would be one of those teams that start well but would gradually fade away. And I think if they can keep this cup run going, they have a good chance of still being in contention for the playoffs at the end of the campaign.
And what a lot of people might not realise with the FA Trophy is the fact that this is the ninth game Rammy have played in the competition with the various replays that they've had and qualification rounds and preliminary rounds. So it's been quite a journey. And I think it develops its own sense of momentum, really. It's a separate thing, isn't it, from the league?
It's so odd, the fact that I've been to a couple of the replays. You'll have to forgive me, I've forgotten who they played in the third qualifying round.
I'll let you know, because it's Pickering. It's Pickering, and before that it was Yaxley. It's so long ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? They've played so many matches that you kind of can forget how many ties that they have gone through just to get to this second round stage. And what my hope is, first of all, that they do get a good attendance, because I think we said last time something like 900 plus people turned out for when Stockport County came to the Riverside Stadium. Now, Weymouth, if you paid attention to them, I've looked at the table, they're doing, I think they're actually doing better in their own league, and this is going to be tough, no doubt about it, but I think Rammy have got a good chance on Saturday.
Just to confirm the teams that they played and defeated, Trafford, which is no mean feat, Frickley back in October. They've had to contend with Yaxley twice, Pickering Town twice, and famously, I'm going to suggest the Workington result, which was a fantastic result back in December. So all eyes on Weymouth, and like you say, hopefully a big attendance. It's £8 adults, £4 concessions, and under 12s, just your £1. And it's going to be a great occasion. Well, Chris, a big thank you for joining us. But just before you go, just a quick plug for the show coming up this Saturday. You'll have some updates from the game as well as the afternoon progresses. How can people tune in?
Well, you can tune in via your FM radio if you're in the Bolton area. It's 96.5 Bolton FM. You can also tune in via the website, boltonfm.com. Click on the Listen Live button. You can also tune in via the TuneIn app and on your smart speakers as well.
Welcome back to the EvoStick NPL show, pre-recorded here on Wednesday night at the Heat and Hops, December's edition. Bolton FM's Chris Hyder there speaking about Rammy against Weymouth in the second round of the FA Trophy.
Sounds positive, doesn't he? I think it'd be a really good game, you know. Weymouth only lost three times in the league this season.
It's a long way to come, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a long way to come. Well, presumably, they won't
any,
be coming
any
up
nice
on
hotels
the
in that part of Lancashire?
Of course there are. You've got Nutters.
Michelin star hotels. You've got Fine
Berry
Dining.
Village.
What will be interesting though, Ben, because it is long journey. If they go up there and the game's abandoned, well, and if it comes to back, the bite on the backside, what happened in the previous game?
Let's talk about the controversy about Weymouth, how they got there, because we spoke about this on another show that we do, Swamper.
What show was
that? Red Rebel Radio, every Friday night. Oh, don't be like that.
he's giving it all out.
It's the only non-league podcast recorded in two different countries.
Peter Markin went down the night before, they were the division below, and they went the day before. All the players had booked time off because basically it was a long, long journey. The game did go ahead. It was a waterlogged pitch, so the game couldn't be played. So they went, right, okay, we understand that. There's nothing you can do about it. Game next Saturday. No, the FA said they had to play on the Tuesday.
You're kidding.
So basically, Needham went, well, it's Christmas week. We're all semi-pro players. They've all got jobs. They've all got this, that and the other. Two of them are filling off building work, people working retail, we can't fulfil the fixture. So the FA went tough and Weymouth went through.
Wow.
The assistant manager, I spoke to him a few weeks ago, very upset. It was the highest they've ever got to in the competition. Right. They're doing well in the league as well. It was really something they were really proud of getting to. Now, I'm not blaming Weymouth in any way, shape or form, but it will be very interesting, which is because it's a longer journey from Weymouth to Ramsbottom.
The thing is, if it was on the other foot and they'd have drawn that game, actually, would they have just gone straight to penalties in it?
They have to decide that. No, it's only in the qualifying round you're allowed to do that.
Yes,
if you are coming up from Weymouth and you know you're part of this place,
have you got the population of Weymouth up there?
No, because it's Ramsbottom. They're playing at Ramsbottom, and just to let you know, if you are kipping over and the game is postponed, there's lots of things to do on a Saturday. You can go to Bury Market.
The famous Bury Market.
You can go on the East Lancs Railway. There's Smithville's, isn't there? Not too far away.
Yeah.
There's loads of lovely chocolate emporiums in Ramy Village.
Great craft ale bars. They've got some great restaurants.
They've got Gaz Seddon's cheese shop.
They have indeed.
Well, in fairness, slap the back of my hand, Burke, because I forgot the best tourist attraction in the Bury area is, of course, the Bury Transport Museum.
Don't get me started. Now, it's very good there.
Let's talk about the football, Burke. Go on.
They had a really stuttering start to the season, really in and out. Chris Wilcox come in and he's really gone playing. They've lost twice in the last 21 games. They're playing absolutely brilliantly at the moment.
They did run Radcliffe right on Boxing Day as well.
How dare they beat Radcliffe Borough? But yes, they did.
And it's Radcliffe, not Radcliffe.
Whatever, yeah, the Borough, the mighty Borough still. But they did, they turned them over, and I know someone who'd say that Radcliffe are the best team in that division.
Yeah, and you would certainly fancy them to win this game. They've won a lot of games in recent times, and you certainly expect them to go into the next round.
I think it'll be close either way. I remember going to,
if the pitch is a bit boggy and the dressing rooms aren't, let's say, the greatest, and it's a ground where, if you don't know it, and as many obviously clubs that in this area know it really well, they'll get there and they'll go, well, we're driving, there's a train track there.
Is that a
steam train?
Yeah.
Is that a cricket pitch?
Is there a man in a parapet waiting for the ball to go into the river?
What do you mean, of him, so?
Anyway.
Yeah. But it's a unique experience going to Ramsbottom, so it's a great experience.
It's brilliant.
I mean, it's down by the River Irwell.
Yeah, I know.
You know, from the shores of Sicily.
That's why I mentioned the guy in the coracle, because there is a bloke who sits in a coracle waiting for the ball. Come on, we've been doing flat for 60 years or something. I remember in the trophy they went down to Worcester City a few years ago and they didn't get treated the way they should have been treated. The guy in the tannoy was sort of not being too respectful, shall we say, about them. They lost 3-0 in the end. But Harry will want to get that set right. He'll want to progress. He'll want to get to the last 16. Wembley's not that far away. I'm not saying he'll get to Wembley, but teams from step 3, step 4, they've done it before. Burscombe,
of course, back to them.
So a big good luck to Ramsbottom United this weekend.
Say, I think they can do it. I mean, because they're a good footballing team. It's a very, if you've never been there before, and
Weymouth have got a nice kit though.
Let's talk about
let's go back to the Premier Division and let's talk about the bottom half of the table. I mean, where do we? I mean, we spoke about the bizarreness of last Saturday in the league when it comes to the top end. Some bizarre situations down the bottom end. Where do we start? Should we
Workington,
start with Workington?
Just a minute, yeah. Gav Skeleton.
A good.
No bones about it.
It's difficult to run a Twitter account. It's difficult.
It is when you've been at a bombshell landed on you as well, and you're probably shaking with like. Well, not excitement, that is it. Rage, probably.
Gavin Skelton then, quitting straight after Workington's credible 1-0 draw with Stafford Rangers. Yeah.
Unhelpful.
We don't know the circumstances of why Gavin's left, but we could speak about what it means for Workington, and it's put them in a bit of a pickle, hasn't it, really?
Well, they've got 20 games left. They've got 17 points.
And the three of the games are in hand as well.
Yeah, they've got three games in hand. However, they're 8 points behind fourth from bottom team. I think they're going to need roughly 27, 28 points, something like that. But you look at that and you go, all right, well, where are they going to get 8 wins and 3 draws from in the last...
There's no evidence that that's coming.
No, none whatsoever. It's just they've got the players, but the team that they've had, the nucleus of the team that they've had for, 5-6 years,
another injury from Saturday as well.
Yeah, bad exactly. One as well. Yeah. Key player.
Yeah. The interesting
thing. A couple sent off against Stalybridge a couple of weeks back as well. They're going to be missing. Do they need to have a shake up now?
I think they're going to have to bring in someone, and again, where the finances can do so, they're going to bring in someone with a bit of a name, I think, that will actually get the players galvanised, get those out that he needs to get out, and also be able to very, very quickly, because where they are at this moment in time, I mean, I don't think any of us would have thought at this stage of the season. It would be where they are.
We've all kept saying all season, haven't we? Particularly after they come to Hyde, they'll be fine. It'll happen. There's no sign that it's going to happen, and the massive problem Workington have got is in the last few weeks as an example, Marine and Micklover put a little run together, 3 wins in a row for Micklover, and they're now starting to be left behind.
You say that, Simo.
I did, yeah.
Well, yeah. But
literally,
just then.
Quarter exactly. 2019.
However,
Simo, that was.
However, superb. I want to cast your attention to something that's going to happen from the end of this month and all the way through February. From the end of this month, they play Micklover. Then they go to Grantham. Then they go to North Ferriby. Then they're at home against Basford. We know that Basford don't particularly travel very well, and let's hope that the bugs all cleared up by then. Then they go to Marine. If they can get 3 wins out of that, and maybe, let's say, 10 points from that set of 5 games there, they're right back in it, you know.
Well, that assumes that Marine, Lancaster and Micklover
all don't carry on the momentum that...
Well, they don't have momentum at the minute. I mean, Lancaster,
well,
they're Micklover. Going
Micklover do.
All right, Micklover do. Yeah, Micklover do. Yeah.
Is it any coincidence that the three teams in there at the moment have all suffered from, let's say, off-the-field issues of late in the fact that, you know, we all know about North Ferriby United, but Stafford Rangers as well with Steve Burley even just a couple of weeks ago.
To have a successful football club, you've got to have a stable backline. And none of those three at the moment do.
Well, actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 6 of the bottom 7 teams have all changed manager this season.
Mm. Yeah.
That's not a coincidence. And in fact, you can go a bit further up, so have Bamber Bridges, a bit exceptional circumstances. Hensford and Grantham changed manager as well. So actually, most of the bottom half of the table, with the exception of Whitten and Mickler, have changed the manager.
How crucial is it, though, that Stafford Rangers have their appointment from the backroom staff behind Steve Burr, or is that...
Well, I always find it a bit odd when this sort of thing happens. I mean, I read the chairman's comments carefully, and he's saying the players know Andy Fern and Alex Meacham, so they're trying to play the continuity card. But I said this to you on Friday, that Andy Fern and Alex Meacham were part of Steve Burr's management team, which has got them into this position. So I find that it's jarring at the very least. And, well, we'll see how it goes. It's very early days, but... I mean, they didn't beat Workington on Saturday.
One thing that has got them in this position now, and we touched on it already, is the fact that Marine and Micklover, I think it was 2 weeks ago, James, we said there was a potential for a gap to open up between Micklover, Marine and the rest of the league. Marine and Micklover have clawed all that back in the last...
Yeah, I mean, Marine, their Christmas, what a turnaround. They could, that have been in a similar situation as the Workington now, 8 points adrift, but now, along with Micklethorpe again, they converted it round, and now we have got a relegation race once again.
Yeah, and I was talking to Carl McCauley about this after the game on Saturday, because as many games Handwitten have got, they remain in the lower half of the table, so they have to be, you know,
wary.
And that's exactly what he said, because I'm saying, oh, you've got all these games now and you're only 12 points behind, and he kind of stopped me and was like, look, we need to make sure we get enough points at the moment to get away from here. And we went down the results on Saturday after they lost to South Shields. All those teams below them had won, so the gap was quite big going into Saturday afternoon, and all of a sudden it's bunched right back up again.
And you Witten, had that fluky relegation a few seasons ago.
Exactly. So there's the shadow of, you know, this has happened fairly recently. Let's not get complacent and think that, all right, we've got all these games now, and we're actually a pretty good team, we'll be fine.
Does speaking of management changes, obviously Nicky Eden's come in at Hensford in the last week or so. Do they have to be careful? Because, you know, like you said, the teams below Witten all won. I mean, Lancaster, Marine, Micklethorpe did pick up great wins.
I've seen Hensford just before Christmas, and yeah, they need to be really careful. Let's just put it that way. He's got a work to do.
For the managers of Stafford Rangers, Workington and everyone else, what is the point, Mark, do you think?
I thought you were going to say, what's the point?
If you look at the team that went down last season in the...
How many points did Sutton get? Well, they were no.
I'm going to tell you.
This time, though.
35. Yeah. Sutton went having 35. Time.
But they were miles behind. If it was three down.
Hales own 45. Stellaby Shelsey 48. Whitby Town right. 50. Right. So it's,
it was 48, but that was in a 24 team league.
Yeah, very good point.
Stellaby and Celtic finished third bottom. They never got relegated.
No, they didn't. But Sutton went down with 35
points. And you go down, you'd be pretty unlucky.
Well, yeah. He's
out 1 year. Because we were talking about earlier about 30 points. We're at 28 points to stay up. There's no way you said we're 28 points.
Well, Marine nearly went down with 50.
No way at all.
For a last minute save.
I think what everyone's saying, and Kyle did make this point to me, is the more teams that are in that group at the bottom, the better for everybody.
The more the merrier.
And I still think, despite it was a good win for Bamberbridge at the weekend against Grantham, by the way, I think it is still, from 13th down, they all have to consider themselves... Some need to be more wary than others, let's put it that way.
It could be worse. Yeah. It could be a situation in the East Division at the moment where pretty much the entire division could still get relegated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Except for Mark.
Marines is 19 at 53 points. Now, 53 points in some divisions, it's actually mid-table.
Yeah, it's a good
actually
point.
Safe. You know, Rushall finished on 54, Colville 52.
Again,
Whitby,
no, that is
50.
Because there is two extra teams out there.
There is, but okay.
And one less, two less relegation spots, so everyone's a bit more free to perform. Mm-hmm.
Well, this season?
Yeah.
Well, no, last season.
Yeah, last season. Last stage. Okay, but yeah, I think it's going to be mid-40s, don't you?
Yeah, well, like I say, I reckon 27 or 28 more points for Workington, and they're on 17, so I've done me
that's
arithmetic.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Anyway,
I won't like to call it maths because it's, you know,
no, I didn't
up in it.
What did I say? The state
math.
Well, certainly I'll play for down the bottom end of the table, and that's the end of part two here at the Heat and Hops.
Part three.
There is a part three, and
is
that'll be
part
the
four?
There'll be a fixture preview coming
is
your way
four as well,
any then? Second now, straight after this advert, and we'll be back very shortly.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in South Manchester, North Stockport, the home of the Evo Stick NPL show. And
no,
we are
you
here
missed out some
for...
very important words. Just while Damien's not here, he'd have your...
The award winning.
Bad, thank you.
Award winning. For December's edition of the Evo Stick NPL show.
Do you know geography?
I do know geography, yes.
So why, I mean, I know it's a bit of a joke, but it's not even funny anymore.
it is. It's quite good.
For December's edition of the Evo Stick NPL show, recorded in January 2019.
It feels like we've been here that long, though.
Simo is here, about to celebrate 2020, the dawning.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Fixture preview then for this weekend. Some big, big matches taking place. I think the pick of the bunch, I'm probably right in saying this, is Scarborough Athletic against Warrington Town. It's got to be, hasn't it? Get your hat back on, Burke.
Yeah, hang on. Yeah, well,
you can leave your hat on.
Warrington against Scarborough.
Oh, yeah, well, the thing is, it's at this time, it's the worst game that Scarborough could possibly get. They got absolutely thrashed the other week by South Shields. And all right, they did very well. Well, I say they did very well. They did what was expected of them against Hensford last week. I don't think they would have expected to concede three goals, mind you. And Warrington, as we mentioned earlier, they've started to concede a few goals now, but they're still scoring enough to get them over the finish line. I see it being a tight game, mind. And I don't know. I mean, I have got my Scarborough hat on, quite literally. So I'm going to say Scarborough with Chris Boulder coming back into the fold and hopefully people pulling in the right direction again. I don't think it's going to be disastrous for Scarborough at all. I think they're going to get at least a draw out of that.
If Warrington only get a draw on Saturday, that gives Fars Celtic the opportunity then to take top spot because Nantwich are in action. Fars Celtic hosting Grantham Town. And no disrespect to Grantham, but surely, it's Farsley all day long,
well,
isn't it?
Well, a double surely does disrespect Grantham, I think.
A double surely? Yeah. Or does it just reinstate the fact that I am playing devil's advocate, no disrespect to Grantham? Burke. Speaking of disrespecting Grantham.
Now,
boom.
Generally speaking, you'd expect Farsley to walk this, absolutely walk this, and they should. But if I put a bet on Farsley to win, they will lose. So I will put a bet on Farsley, and then Grantham will at least get a draw.
We are 2 weeks into January, and there's a good chance we could have four options for league leaders come Saturday at 5 o'clock. South Shields being the other one, they've got a far superior goal difference, so they could, in theory, go top if they beat Basford United away from home on Saturday.
Yeah, going to be an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, South Shields, they seem to have picked up a little bit of form away from home, but remember they drew with a last-minute equaliser against Lancaster a few weeks ago, so I still don't think they're over the demons going away from Mariners Park. That said, Basford, we know they've got a lot of injuries. Will they be over the epidemic which was sweeping through the club last week against Hyde? You'd expect so, but we've all had flu before, or at least a very heavy cold, and it takes you longer than the week to get over it, because once you think you kind of got rid of it, then it lingers, doesn't it? And they're not going to be right. They're still not going to be right. So it should be an absolute banker there.
I think you need cranberries, don't you? Think it's
lots of cranberry.
It's
very
good. Need some cranberries.
It should be nailed on South Shields. That.
Well, if Basford are back to full strength,
They're not going to be, though.
Well, we don't know yet. Do we know. Do we know?
Yeah, we do know, because they've got some fairly long-term injuries out.
I honestly believe if they've got a semblance of their first team minus their long-term injuries, they will get a result.
Elsewhere, and Gainsborough Trinity have got an opportunity to claw some points back on Scarborough. Gainsborough are hosting Workington.
You're probably queuing up to play Workington this weekend, I think. Sorry.
Don't sound so apologetic about it, Simo. I think you're absolutely right. Workington are in a little bit of turmoil at the moment. I mean, you wouldn't quite say it's a soul popper or anything like that, but the
Gainsborough in the position they are, being sixth division, if you've got any ideas of going up, they want to beat Workington.
They've got to win this game.
Workington themselves, as you rightly say, haven't got a new manager in respect of someone coming in and maybe just changing it. That little bit of impetus you get straight away. They're using the same people that were already in the football club.
And they've got a couple of players missing.
Well, Alisson injury.
Exactly.
Well, and injury, but also suspension as well.
Workington will be set adrift even more this Saturday, unfortunately.
Their season starts in fortnight.
That said, there is a big game taking place down the bottom end. Lancaster against Michelover Sports. Mm. Boom.
In form, Michelover.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is... This could see John McGrath signed out.
Well, if they go four successive wins, they'll probably climb another couple of places. Lancaster, to be fair to them, there's a great win against Matlock at the weekend, which they needed because they'd had a poor run going into that game. And obviously, Matlock are in great nick as well.
Lancaster are decent at home, though. I mean, got that draw against.
They would have been in the relegation places without that win.
Yeah.
The main thing with that one is as well, it's an opportunity to get away from Stafford, because again, Stafford have got the weekend off at this moment in time too. Yeah. So again, whoever wins that.
Point
for the sixth clear, so again, the pressure's off a little bit there.
Well, Marina playing Buxton at Silverlands.
Another stonker, isn't it? But Buxton, they're really, really solid at the minute. I mean, Nico De Girolamo, one of the best centre-halves in the division, got his brother Diego, former Italy under 20 international, who's playing in midfield for him. They've got a really, really good team. There's an argument for saying Buxton should be higher than what they are.
How important has Niall Cumings been to Marine?
He's been great since he's coming. Been I don't know if you can say he's been a catalyst necessarily.
Just coincide though, doesn't it?
I would say. He scored a couple of goals. That their wins have coincided with him being there. The young mate was quite interesting listening to him because he seemed to hint that there was such a weight of expectation on Danny Mitchell that it might actually help Danny to have someone else up there alongside him helping him out. The only concern I would have, and we don't know yet, is how long they're going to have Cummings for, because you'd have thought he is part of Curzon's plans because he's such a good player.
Another fixture which is important for the relegation picture is Stalybridge Celtic against Hensford Town. Hensford just peering over the shoulders going, ooh.
Is that what they're doing?
You're making that noise.
I think that's going to be Stalybridge all day, actually. I know it's not often I say
that. I know, that's why there was stunned silence. Right. No, things must be bad.
Bridge have been playing all right recently. Yeah, they have. They really should have beaten South Shields away. They should have been the first team since the mighty Radcliffe Borough to take
FC. Radcliffe FC.
Yeah, no, they were Radcliffe Borough at the time.
See, Ben, I jumped in on your behalf, realised that I was wrong. I actually thought you were like,
ah! Martyrdom.
Absolutely. Yeah. They should have at least got a point, but they threw it away right at the end. But they're playing very well in the minute. They've got Scott Bacour playing like we know he can play. He's playing. He's happy. He's a great player, isn't he? But he needs to be happy, and he's happy at the moment. You've got Ross Dent, who is the best enforcer in the entire division. No question about it. He's a fantastic centre midfielder. You've got Neil Kingney up front.
Paddy Walton's just signed for him as well, just realised.
Oh, really? Well, there you are. It's another plus point for him. But Kingney, he's having his first real run in the team, and he's found his shooting boots. They've got a young lad on loan from Accrington, Andrew Scott, who is a really... He's similar, actually, to Sean Cook. A small player, twists and turns, got flicks and tricks. But they can't defend. That's the problem. They cannot defend, and that's why they won't be bothering the playoffs this year. They'll score plenty, but they'll concede.
They won't mind that too much, though.
No, but it's something to work on for next season. I think you can put Stalybridge in the bracket of someone to watch for next season, you know, because if they can sort their defensive problems out, they'll be a real threat, and I mean it.
Two other fixtures to talk about. We'll come into Bamber Bridge behind last, because you've just had the floor there for that kind of Oscar speech.
I'm thinking of it. I was sold.
I'm thinking of the Untouchables theme underneath you. Witten against Matlock.
Yes, Witten are just absolutely delighted not to be playing someone in the top four. That's their past four games been against the top four teams. That said, it hardly getting any easier by playing Matlock. Matlock, I think it's three without a win now. That's hardly a crisis, but they've just lost a little bit of momentum. Witten, they need a win. As well as they played in the last four games, they've only won. They beat Nantwich, but they lost the three other games against the top four. So they do need some points.
A win would take them 8 points clear of the relegation.
And that would be lovely.
You say that about Matlock, though. They've gone three without a win, but in December they won four.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not, like I said, it's not, you know, a crisis.
There was a draw in that fluky, well, not fluky 5-0 against South Shields. That was the game where South Shields really started to reassert themselves, I suppose.
And it's a tough game.
Well, the one thing about Witten as well is if they win that game, they'd be on 23 against teams above them that have played two or three, some four.
They're in that mix then.
So, you know,
and the fixed list gets a little bit light while they play.
It's a game for them. It's a game that Witten Albion want to be winning. To put them back in the mix a little bit.
Just to add, I like to highlight these numbers when they come up. Matlock Town, a goal difference of zero, scored 50, conceded 50.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah. One last result fixture to talk about then: Bamber Bridge against Hyde United.
Two promoted teams from last season. Bamber Bridge, they've gone through a few ups and downs, I think it'd be fair to say, in the last couple of months. Hyde really started to stabilise. The only game they've lost in the last seven was against Nantwich, who were top of the league. Well, top of the league now, still aren't they? But it was playing absolutely windy. It weren't even windy, it was farcical. It was stupid. Hyde goalkeeper booted the ball out of his hands. go 40 yards that way and blow back 30 yards straight back towards him. It was ludicrous. It was windy first half, but second half when Nantwich had the wind, it was a hurricane. It was ridiculous. It should have been abandoned. It was no, I'm serious. It was dangerous. The trees were over at like 45 degrees.
Stop now.
No. Hyde literally could not get out of their own half. Oh. And I'll tell you what, no, Swampy.
But it's wind.
And you saw a lot of it.
Right.
You
can't abandon a game for excess 30. Wind.
Right, no, this is... No,
what's the level? Otherwise you're going to have wind socks at football grounds across the country, aren't you?
FC United played Whitby Town. Boring. And Sam Ashton took a goal. Sam Ashton took a goal kick. Here we go. Sam Ashton took a goal kick. Where did he go?
Retford.
For a corner.
Yeah,
excuse me, we've all to go through it. Get over yourself.
Right, there was a pass.
Ever since you got rid of your grass, you've become a bit weird, I have to say. Yeah, since you got rid of your normal grass at Ewen Fields, you become quite sanitised.
Then you know what they need to do? If there's a problem with the wind, they get a rugby league little
tee,
put the ball up from a goal kick, and you kick it. That's fine, it's all done.
Can you do that?
No.
Oh.
Right.
But anyway, good. Where's the ball? It's in Duckingfield.
What happened is there was
not again.
A Nantwich player who passed the ball 10-15 yards forward.
We've all been to football matches where it's windy.
Very important.
Did Sean Cook then fall over?
He fell. Well, he never stood for second half. He couldn't.
Hold on, because someone say there's no place like home. There's no place like rugby slippers. And then the house came along and blew it over to Northwich Victoria.
Yes, on this show in the past.
The centre half played a pass. Into the midriff of his midfielder, 10-15 yards ahead of him, and he nearly lobbed the keeper. And he was on the halfway line. It was just a short pass.
That's never happened before, is it? Someone scored on the halfway line.
No, it was a short pass, which under normal circumstances.
Where are we playing there or there, here or there?
Does that mean they're going to beat Bamber Bridge or not?
Oh, a draw.
And on that note, that is the end of the Evo Stick. Was that not your honest opinion?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, right, okay. I feel like you've cheated the listener.
You've done a massive wind-up.
Can I just say something here? I've been told when I'm not here, this show flows.
Does.
No problem at all.
It's you, this.
You're a bad influence.
So it's who Hyde played, by the way? Because I forgot.
Hyde playing Bamber Bridge. Hyde beat Bamber Bridge.
Okay, well, all I will say
is... Hang on, what this
Although the game will have happened by the time this conversation finishes. So let's just tell you the result.
Hyde beat Bamber Bridge 3-0.
I think that was he made a really good point. Hyde really lost 1-7. They're in good form, they're going well.
Thank you.
And he went off 20 minutes to justify the one defeat against the best team in the league. Or the one at the top of the league.
And on that note,
which
that
we
is...
should have won. On a normal day, we would have won that.
That is the end of the Evo Stick MPL show.
Still listening, I'm actually back in Belgium. The show's been that long because of Bernie. I'm actually back.
And on that note, that is the end of the Evo Stick MPL show for the month of December 2018, pre-recorded
live
in January 2019. Simo, Angie Simpson from the Midchester Guardian, thank you for joining us.
I'm so glad you said it was 2018.
Burke, a big thank you from 26-0.
I'm sorry, Ben.
And Scarborough Athletics media team, of course. Swampet from the National Non-League show.
I sure could be doing tonight, but I chose not to. But basically, I don't know why I chose.
What a regret that is.
What a regret.
Sat your agent and James Hayes, social media officer from the league. That is the end, and have a lovely week, and we'll be back next week with the normal weekly show. Thank God.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick. The strongest adhesives you can buy.